Boston by Bravo. I am Amy, joined with my incredible co-host.
Hi, Am.
Hey, Dom Jen. We have put PTSD from last week, so we're a little anxious, but here we are. Episode 42. We're so excited. We might have some new listeners. And welcome to any of our new friends. That's what we call our listeners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's going on?
Not much. I was just looking at the date. Your birthday's coming up.
My birthday's coming up.
On Sunday.
It's on Sunday.
Any plans?
Yeah. I was actually supposed to go away and things change last minute, which is fine. Plans change. Yeah. So last minute I decided that I was going to, you're going to die. Cause I actually didn't tell I didn't tell you this at all. You're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm at the edge of my seat. Truly.
So I was like, what do I want to do on my birthday? Because again, I'm doing something even more fun. So, you know, most of my friends with kids live in Philly, South Jersey. Actually, they all live in probably South Jersey now. That's where Philly people go when they've moved on up in life. And so I decided to throw a roller skating party for myself.
Oh my God, is it at the Palace?
Oh my God, it's not, because we can't go there anymore. That's not safe.
Is it even open? I hope it is.
I don't know, but that's where I had like my 9th birthday and my 12th birthday.
Yeah.
It would only be fitting to have.
You're 41st.
So I basically said to my friends, hey, are you and your kids available to come last minute to this roller skating party? And so my friends and all their kids are coming, and there's going to be 15 of us roller skating during the, it's probably going to be like 10 million kids' birthday parties and then mine. And I'm so hype about it. I'm so hype.
I got to say, this was not on my bingo card.
It wasn't on mine either.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we get something.
Where am I going to go?
No, where you said you were going to go away.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to go to Atlanta with a group of my friends, and I found out a week ago, literally after we recorded, that out of the 6 of us that were going, only 2 of us bought plane tickets.
Love that.
So I was like, okay. And my friend who lives there that we were going to stay with was like, yeah, I don't care. Come down. But it was 3 of our birthdays. Like, my friend Steph's tomorrow, and then me and my friend Keith have the same birthday on Sunday. And we're like, oh, we were going to do this. Sorry, am I boring you?
I feel like Andy Cohen right now. I keep yawning. It's not you. It's Jesus not you. Christ. I promise. I need my second cup of coffee.
Anywho, I'll just go fuck myself. Do you know?
So sorry.
Yeah. So we were supposed to do that. We're not doing that. I'm going to go to a roller skating party. I'll send you a picture. I'm most excited that the kids are going to be there. And not that I don't love their parents, but like, how fun is it going to be being able to roller skate with all of my nieces and nephew friends' kids? I just like can't even. I also got them, you're going to be like, what the hell's wrong with you? I also got them goodie bags. Like, you know how you used to go to a party and get like party favors?
I know what a goodie bag is. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm giving those out for my 41st birthday.
This feels so not who I know you to be. So this is like very bizarre to me. Like, I think I'm confused mostly, not bored.
I'm on my sober-ish journey and I'm like, what could I do? Like, I want to do an activity. I don't want to just go to a bar. And FYI, I went to the gala last Friday, and I had my 5 drinks. I actually only had 4.5, and it was so much easier than I thought.
Nice.
It was really, really easy. I ran into, as soon as we walk in, right, this place is on Broad Street V by Chess Cafe, which everybody from Philly knows what this place is. It's on Broad Street. Also, Jen, I don't know the last time you've been to like downtown Philly. Holy crap. Broad Street's changed so much.
Was Chesapeake always there? I thought it was.
Chesapeake was in Northern Lakes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I walked by it recently and I was like, oh, I thought this was on like 2nd Street.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a place there, but Chesapeake basically is. They own a bunch of different spaces, and this is one of their new spaces. So me and my friend Joey Lynn walk in. We look at the bartender, and we're like, we know him from Frankfurt Ave. He was like our bartender at our Frankfurt Ave bartender. Like, he worked all over Frankfurt Ave. So if you know anything about Frankfurt Ave in Northeast Philly, it's the avenue. And we're like, oh, my God, does he recognize us? So,
did he? You know,
two drinks in, we go up. He's like, I know you bitches.
And oh my God.
Not only that, like immediately I say one sentence to him, and who am I? I'm Amy from Northeast Philly. Oh yeah, how you doing? Oh my God, it's been so long.
Yeah.
I've been seeing you in so yeah. How are the kids? I just like could flip into it, into the accent. I'm like, you fake bitch. You fake bitch. Yeah. And I just was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He goes like this. Meek comes over. I'm like, oh, this is my husband, Meek. He goes, hey, buddy, how you doing? Where are you from? And he goes, Belgium. He goes, oh, the country? And he goes, yeah, the country. He goes, yeah, I heard that's the Mayfair, Europe.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed.
It was like
Mayfair, Europe.
It was the best. I was like, this is hysterical. This is like Northeast perfect. Philly. It was so perfect. So
I love it.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, okay, so you know how we usually have Amy's celeb sightings.
Yes.
Something different happened this weekend in San Francisco for our good friend Dom Jen. Dom Jen had her own dun-dun-dun celebrity interaction sighting, and I'm going to say it's A-list.
It is A-list. So Sunday, these two guys come in. They're like security, and they asked to reserve the table for a couple hours. Pool table. And, you know, normally we don't really do that. And so I was kind of like, I'm not really sure. I'm like an edible deep. So I'm in a very chill Sunday vibe. And he's like, he basically is just like, money's not a thing. And I was like, huh? And he was like, money doesn't matter. And I was like, let me call my boss. And I call my boss. I was like, hey, there's these two guys here. They want to reserve the table, the pool table for a few hours. They said they're filming something, which like they weren't. I think it was just like, they didn't want to just like come out and drop the situation like right there. And I was like, they're saying that money is like not really a thing. Like it's whatever you want to charge them, they're going to pay it. And he was like, all right, just give them my number. And I was like, okay. So then he calls me back, like my boss. And he says, do you know anything about Bad Bunny? And I'm like Kendall Jenner's ex. I was like, but also like cultural icon and is like selling out stadiums all over the goddamn world. 3-time Grammy nominee, or no, I think he's won 3 American Grammys, has won several Latin Grammys. And I was like, that guy? He was like, whoa. I was like, yeah. He's like, well, anyway, so he'll be there in a few hours. He was like, anyway, he'll be there in a few hours to shoot some pool. He's at the gym right now. Don't really say anything, like trying to keep it pretty like low key. I was like, okay. And I like, normally when I am done work, I am ready to go. Like, I'm not there to kick it. A lot of people hang, they'll have a drink. Not me. Not me at all. And that day, I'm like lingering on this one half a cider for so goddamn long. I'm like taking like bird bites out of it, basically. I'm like, where is this guy? I was like, celebrities, oh, they're not on time. At first they said 6:30, but then they did call and say 7:30. And I was like, fuck, that means I'm like probably not going to really be their bartender because I get done at 8. Oh. So I was like, okay. So then, yeah. So he came in on Sunday night to play some pool in a chill setting. I think the real thing that's shocking about this story is like, it's just not, I love this bar so much. I was a regular there before. I loved working there. It's just like not, I don't know. I just didn't see Bad Bunny.
It's not like
going there. It's not. Yeah, it's not seen like a scene kind of spot. Although,
yeah,
when I think about San Francisco, it's not really like that anyway. Like I can't think of another bar that I would be like, oh, that would be where I expect to see a celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And well, it's funny because this is the bar that I've been at with you, and you even said it. It's like a biker bar.
Yeah, it's like a metal biker bar. It's a great fucking bar. Please come. Benders and SF. And yeah, it was just wild. He's way hotter in person in his Gucci gray sweatsuit. Super chill.
Wait, how did you call it Gucci?
Because I said it on the back of it, on like the lower back.
So he was in like head to toe gray sweats.
Hood on and everything. Like, I don't think he took his hood off for most of it. And it was like fine for like the first 2 hours. And then like hour three, word definitely spread and people were like, like Mike rang, like the bartender from that night rang. I wouldn't say he rang double what he normally would have done on a Sunday. But like when I was there, like when I was still there about to leave, it was like mellow. Like it wasn't like busy like at all. And when I heard like the numbers that he ended up ringing, I was like, oh, it definitely picked up because of that.
Great.
Yeah, super
great. If only you were bartending. Also, we should talk. Like a gray on gray sweatsuit for a Northeast Philly gal. Like this is like
a dream. A wet dream.
For sure.
Nice ass
Tingle
sneakers.
In our Pringles.
Yeah.
Yes. Were they white sneakers?
I don't remember. We did make eye contact once. He did leave. So he was drinking Coronas, opted out for a shot. And the Coronas, I did the math. I think they had like 15 Coronas at like $6. And there, so the bill was like right around $100 and he left a $200 tip. That's good.
Yeah, how did you not tell me that part? We love him.
We're saving it for the pod, baby.
Oh my God, I can't believe you didn't tell me that.
I wanted to save it.
That is the best part.
I know.
Double.
Yes, he did.
Oh, that makes me love him more.
Yeah, and like,
okay.
You were super, obviously as a staff, like, we're super respectful and like, after I got my look, I was like, it's time for me to go home. I don't need to like
hear all
of this. I was like, unless he's coming up to ask for my number, I gotta go.
and let's say he did ask for your number. What would you do?
Kyle, I might have to use a hall pass. At least like for the story, you know, like for the podcast, we're trying to make some money.
Kyle, we're doing what we have to do. I agree. Gotcha. I agree. Now our other question that we always know is, did you submit to our girlfriend Dumas?
Okay. So I didn't like take any photos or anything. And I did say like, I submitted and just said like Bad Bunny playing pool at Benders in SF right now. That didn't get posted. I don't know if that'll maybe be on Sunday Spotted, but what was so bizarre to me is that someone else took a photo and sent it into Dumois that was at that bar. And like, my question is who? Like, if it wasn't me, and I know pretty much like there are days when I can look around the room and tell you what every single person drinks and almost know every single person's name because it's a regular, like it's a lot of regulars. So I'm like, is there
friends?
I have a friend out there that is also hanging out.
You have a friend out there. You have a friend that you need to find.
I know.
This was Jenna's. Jenna might have to have her own celebrity sighting segment now.
Yeah, well.
This is an A-list celebrity sighting.
This isn't even a sighting, though. This is, like, more of, like, a, like, I feel like.
Interaction.
This is, like, I cleaned up glassware right behind him.
You could have touched him.
Maybe
also, the thing that you're not telling the folks is that you had your fourth Kendall Jenner comparison this week. So, you could have hit. Did I really just say that?
Yeah, okay. This Kendall Jenner thing is really starting to get out of control, you know, all four times. And it's like, it's
four times
flattering that I'm like, I said, and like, it also like a week ago, that we didn't talk about this on the pod last week, but someone asked me out to dinner. Like someone came back, like he was in work. I said to Kyle, I was like, I'm going to get a big head out here. I'm like, this is bartending's great for my ego, could be bad for you.
You didn't tell me on here, but you told me in real life. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Also, now I have a question. Mm-hmm. As it relates to Love is Blind, mm-hmm. if you were in a pod and someone asked who you looked like, would you say Kendall Jenner?
No. Imagine, could you imagine, like the short stubby version? Like, no way.
Okay, let's not be that dramatic.
She's like 5'11" and like a
how tall are you?
5'4 1/4.
See, in my head you're like 5'6" 5'7".
Thank you so much. No, I'm not. I'm probably close to like 5'5". Never quite hit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have a new segment. Jenna's San Francisco celebrity sightings.
Wait, can I tell you about the being asked out though?
How could I forget?
It was so bizarre. So this guy had come in to work the week before that. They served him and his friend some drinks. Didn't think anything of it. There was no indication of anything. He left. Same shift. I worked the next week. He came in.
Wait. On a scale of like 1 to 10, attractiveness wise,
I would say like a 7.5, 8.
Okay, so he's good looking.
Yeah, he's like very like, and he had like a very like cool, like, I was like, he looks like he could be in like in an indie band, like an indie rock band sort of.
Your favorite. Go ahead.
And so then whatever, didn't think anything of it. The following week, same shift, he comes in. I was like, oh, hey, nice to see you, whatever. Like, same thing, like, basically like asking if he wants the same round of drinks. And he was like, no. I was like, oh, what can I get you? And he's like, actually, I kind of just wanted to ask you out to dinner. And I was like,
wait, you did not?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, that's so, I'm so flattered. I was like, I think you're really handsome. I'm married, I said. Because I need to just start doing that, because guys have been like, I do get approached quite a bit. Not necessarily like people aren't asking me out for dinner necessarily, but I said to Kyle recently, I was like, all right, this whole game, and like saying my boyfriend doesn't carry as like much weight. And like, what am I going to say? Sorry, I'm in like a, oh. Okay, so we're back. I'm not even going to tell the people that we're having technical difficulties because they probably know by now. So I think with that, I don't even know where that story, our last story, left off about the dinner. Point is, I got asked to dinner. It felt nice. Gonna keep it moving. Let's get into Bravo. I don't know how else to keep this train going.
It's a perfect segue. Okay. I love that for us. There was so much. Well, I feel like Bravo, a lot happened. And I think, yeah. I feel like we should start with, you saw the trailer for New Jersey.
Yes. And we texted briefly about it, I think, but I like that we didn't know anything. And it's like, as much as I love Dumois and Bravo and Cocktails, not knowing stuff is nice. Like, I can't believe that there was probably a time where every season when a new trailer dropped, we didn't know stuff.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like because of Dumois, but more so probably because of Bravo and Cocktails, we kind of know what's going to play out on the season.
Totally.
And this Teresa stuff about like Louis taking all of her money, I did not know. I also want to say, me and you were texting about the trailer and you dropped a bomb on me. I don't know if you want to tell the people secret. I'm gonna spill the beans for you.
I know, but what if he does something so gnarly and then I have to take it back? You know how these Bravo stars are. Like,
yeah, but so what? You said what you said. I have a lot to take back from what I said last year. Dom Jen hit me up and said, I think John Fuda's hot. And I get it. Okay.
Okay.
I think we should say what you're saying is when he told Teresa Giudice about herself, it gave you a little tingle in your Pringle because he was sticking up for himself and like talking back to the boss. And that's what it was. It was the swag. It was the confidence.
Yeah.
And this is things men need to know is that it doesn't take a lot to make us happy.
It all goes back to what you just said, the swag. This is what we talked about with West and Jesse Solomon. I don't know why we call him by first and last name, by the way. But Paige does it, so I do it.
Yeah.
But same thing. It's like, and also I'm so, I know the tree huggers are going to come for me, but I'm so not down for Teresa. Like, I'm not,
I was like, what tree?
I'm not down for her at all. I think she's so problematic. Well, I'm not even saying I love Melissa, but she is like just,
I love Melissa.
She's, I can't.
Well, Teresa is beyond, it's so funny. Remember I went to their baseball game in Coney Island? It was crazy to see the number of people that were in line trying to get Teresa's, like, people were coming just to see her. Yeah, and it's wild because I didn't know. And meanwhile, I love Marge. I love Dolores. I love the whole gang. I also think I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Jersey because it feels most like at home. But Teresa's wild, man. Like, there's nothing. She doesn't take accountability. This is a theme that women across Bravo worlds and people across Bravo worlds that make really good reality stars are narcissists who don't take accountability. People like, I feel like that's something that this week just felt like the theme. Like, we don't need to take accountability for anything we're doing. Let's point the finger at everyone else. And they're the people that annoy me the most. And that
at this reunion.
Oh my God. Let's jump. I actually am excited for the first time in a while for Jersey. I feel like the other few seasons, the last few years, I haven't really been. And the trailer kind of looked good.
It looked really good. I'm excited. I didn't know that I felt like from what we had sort of been hearing, whatever we had been hearing, it was like that there was so much concern about how are they going to move on? How are they going to do this? And like that there was no storyline. And I'm like, it's looking like there's kind of a lot here.
I mean, Jackie giving Teresa a hug. What? What? Yeah. Bring it to us, man.
And the fact that,
like
Jackie and Marge not really being on speaking terms.
Yeah. What does that say? Yeah. I want to.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. It's crossover. Are we crossing the river to New York for Summer House? What are we doing?
Yeah, there's a river. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to guess which one?
The Hudson?
Dom Jen.
Did I do it?
That was good.
Cool. Let's get into our New York people, Summer House.
Well, before we get into Summer House, I want to talk about, well, I guess it's kind of Summer House. Danielle was on Watch What Happens Live last week. And I don't know about you, but I felt like there was a bomb dropped where she basically confirmed blow for blow that Joe Bradley slept at Luann's. So what happened was Joe Bradley was on Watch What Happens Live with Luann de Lesseps. Andy says there's a lot of flirting going on, flirting. Danielle's like, I felt like there was flirting too. I catch eyes with Andy's. We catch eyes and we're like, what the hell's going on? We all go to this bar afterwards, hang out at the bar. Then Joe says, I'm going to the Upper East Side to meet up with my college buddies.
Okay. That part right there, you know, your college buddies are living on the Upper East Side.
Interesting.
The tidbit I love from this as well was Danielle saying that her and Andy had locked eyes that night. Like, you know when you've done that with a friend, like when you're like, wait.
What the fuck's going on? What is going on? So then
That was so interesting.
The other thing that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if this is what people do nowadays, but she said she had his location on. I don't have anyone in my – the only person whose location I've ever shared in my entire life was with you. And I don't know how I did it. And I don't even know if I'm still doing it, but I don't share.
You're not.
And I don't know how. And I've never shared my location, but I think this is things kids do. But
100%. I can scroll on mine.
With your friends?
I know where Aisha is right now. I know where Corey is right now. I know where Jackie is right now. I know where Eden is, Kyle, Caitlin, my cousin. It's great. What if someone gets dragged out to the Hudson? At least you know where they are.
I mean, I don't even share with Meek because I feel like it's like privacy.
That's wild. No, I mean,
maybe when I'm traveling, I should do that if I'm not with him. Okay, so anyway, yeah. I also think, but they were in like a 4-week relationship, maybe not 4 weeks. Okay. They weren't even exclusively boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're sharing their location. And so Danielle sees Joe, or maybe something else happened. They left the bar, and Danielle says, I see you're going to the Upper East Side. It looks like you're about to make a bad decision. And that's when he said, no, I'm going to my college buddies.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he slept at his college buddies. And she said she didn't believe it at first, but then like after a few days, she started believing it. And it was basically confirmed that he did sleep at Luann's house. Whether or not they slept together, I guess, is up for debate. But
oh, please. You think the Countess is bringing someone to her Upper East Side apartment and not doing the deed?
Also, you know, for however, he's 28. Is he really going to give up an opportunity to sleep with the Countess?
No.
He's not. I mean, especially I don't even blame him. You know,
I don't know. I don't either. I mean, TJ told us at the reunion or whatever their reunion was. I love that it was just like an extended Watch What Happens Live. So I was like, oh, the shade. But TJ told us, like, he was like, I'm 99. And TJ just does not strike me as like a liar.
But TJ is a pot stirrer. I know you.
Totally. And that's fine.
Right.
He's like, I don't think he's lying.
No, but he also has tea.
Like, I think everyone goes to him with the tea. And he's perfect for the show. But yeah, that was a bomb. Danielle, I think she even said it. No more Bravo Lebs or Bravo adjacent stars. Let's just get someone off these streets in Brooklyn.
Yeah, so it was good to see Danielle on. She also looked great on Watch What Happens Live. I know that I love her outfits. But then, I mean, let's just jump in to they left us no breadcrumbs from Summer House. They were like, you know what? We're going to get right into the nitty gritty from the jump. Like we're not going to make you wait 3 episodes for you to hear what you all have been hearing about Lindsay questioning Carl's sobriety. They open us up and we're back at the party and Jesse Solomon is flirting with Paige.
Coming on pretty strong, I'd say.
And like also he's using his like frat boy tricks and I don't think he knows that Paige, that's not really her style.
That's not her vibe.
No, she's outgrown this. Sorry, Jesse Solomon.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. And the riding the shark with West and Sierra. Oh my God. Their vibes.
I know. I really hope they're together. And I think even if they're not together, I could totally see it being, like, super chill, like, as in, like, no animosity, like, if they get I love them. I love the whole vibe. Like, when his friend showed up and she was like, I knew it. I knew he had black friends.
Oh, my God.
Love this for you so much.
And it's also, like,
always in a house with a bunch of white people. So she's like, this is great. Love this for me.
And I think she also was saying, like, I knew you were swaggy. Like, we knew that you were swaggy. She's from Atlanta.
Where did he say he's from?
Missouri.
Okay, yeah.
Did I make that up?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, because he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Oh, okay. Another reason for us to love him. Yeah. And then like they're flirting. I really loved that car episode or the car scene where West is like, yeah, I'm really hoping to like see how things go. And Jesse Solomon's like, yeah, hopefully you hit it off with Sierra. And he's like, yeah, I kind of thought we did. Yeah. There's something about these guys that Bravo finally got right in their formula that hasn't been right the last 2 seasons, like the Chris's and even the girls. These two guys have the energy that the house has needed. And it was like right off the bat, we liked them.
Speaking of the energy of the house.
Mm.
So first episode. Everyone's vibing. Everyone's having a good time. Gabby even calls Lindsay and Carl to say what a great time she's
weird.
Having.
Weird. So weird. What? Like, and she's so unaware.
But like, moving from that, you go in, we come into this episode. Lindsay and Carl arrive. And, like, it seems like everyone's, like, really chill with Carl and whatever.
Right.
Like, it is what it is. And I do think that they all really like Carl. I think it's just they don't like his partner. And so that's kind of where the issues with him kind of arise from. And immediately, Lindsay's like, and it, the thing that made me so mad was that it was Wes saying it, like, talking about someone's hot. It's like, this guy is not out here to, like, stir anything up. You guys are the ones that brought him into this house. And immediately,
right.
I know this house. And I'm like, why do you have to come in with that kind of energy? Like,
it's just so obvious. Fine. Right. Because it's her energy that she always gives. Like, oh, I'm pissing where I, like, this is me marking my territory. But to your point, they knew each other. So why are you giving your friend an attitude? Is this how you treat the people you hang out with? Because, like, it was almost like that call that Gabby gave made her heated about everybody's having fun because I'm not there. Like, oh, okay. Everybody's having fun without me.
You would almost think it would do the opposite. I mean, I guess it would for almost anyone except for
anyone
Lindsay,
else.
Right. But anyone else. And it's just, she's just always the victim. And I know we've talked about this on this podcast before, but that is like a personality that you and I cannot get down with. Cannot. The always victim. It's happening to me. Why are you coming at me? Why am I always the one that people gang up on? Like, that's not the vibe. And she
no.
is the queen of that.
No. And it's funny because I'm rewatching Summer House and this is her forte. And I've noticed in my rewatch that whenever someone confronts her, she walks away. She's in the wrong and she has nothing to say, but she walks away. She runs away. She doesn't know how to approach the situation. And I think there was just this episode for me goes beyond any part, like any shit I've ever talked about Lindsay. This showed a side of her that was just darker than dark. I mean, if we want to jump right into it, the end of the episode, they all have this dinner. Wait, we have to talk about this dinner where they all go around the table.
Okay. So not only is like Wes so swaggy and this and that, but his
FYI, this will now be a West Stan podcast. I mean, hopefully he doesn't do anything creepy in the future that we're going to have to eat our words, but we are Team West. Yeah, not going to watch.
So he, you know what it is too about him? He's like acute self-awareness and that is so hot. Doesn't he though?
It's so like, but he can be self-deprecating, but it's not, it's almost like not it's like you said, it's a self-aware, like I'll be self-deprecating and it's kind of negative and he's doing it and like, oh, this is cute. This is funny. Like sweet.
Yeah. So I really did. Like, I was like picturing myself being at that table and I would have been cracking up because what would we not know about you? And he goes first and he's like, I've been to all 50 states, which by the way,
great fun fact. Great fun fact.
Sue Solomon. And I will say the game was not called Fun Facts. It was like,
it was not
something like that you, that not everyone would know about you. So I think they did intend it to be a little bit more like deep than a fun fact that you would do with like a new buddy. And he said, Jesse Solomon says he survived cancer twice.
Twice. And the way that he is one ball.
Yeah. Second, like following.
Imagine if I win second. Also, the way that him, I could see Paige with him. I know we're like shipping Sierra, but
I thought this. I thought
they're this. Like, this is Paige's vibe for sure. I know. We love Craig though. We love Craig.
Yeah, I was like, Craig was not in the picture, and this was three summers ago, and Wes was in the house. He and Paige are vibing because I bet their banter could go all damn day.
all damn day. And it's good to see. Question, what would you have answered if something someone didn't know about you? If you had to give a fun fact, what would you give?
Fun fact or like, oh God. I hate when places come up.
New jobs. I have to do this at work all the time. I literally have a list in my phone. And my first one, but it's like, they said fun fact, but also something people wouldn't know about you. There's nothing people wouldn't know about me because I literally tell everyone my business all the time. Right. I mean, my fun fact is like, I'm a good parallel parker. That's it. And I want to say that I'm not even a good pair. I'm an exceptional parallel parker. I know you think you got me beat, but I would beat you. I know. No, I'd beat you. I would.
I have no idea. I really have no idea. I remember when I had to do that joke, like the when I was going through the pole thing. I just like panicked. So I was like, they're going to make us do this. They're going to make us do this. And I was like, what am I going to say? Should I make it up? And like, I was so something so outlandish that people would be like, what? I don't know what I
have a third nipple. You want to see? Anywho, okay. You should think about that and bring it back to us. Anyway, so moving. So we move on and then it's let's go out time. Also, you could tell as soon as Lindsay got there, she started drinking because she must have felt the tension in the air and was definitely drinking to ease the pain. And so we see that. You see her. I mean, let's be honest. They did a good job of like shady showing her like pouring the bottle the second she walked in the door. And I get it. Like I probably would too. You're going into a place where they ripped her head off at the reunion.
Yeah, they really did.
And so then they all break out into the cars to go out for the night. The girls get in one car. There's not enough room for Lindsay. She goes in to the other car with the guys. And this is where I guarantee Bravo wishes that they had cameras in those cars. Because this is where all hell breaks loose.
You would think that they would have learned from Wabasabi or whatever. Where were they in Colorado? In Aspen? Like, get these.
Kemosabe, yeah. Wabasabi.
Man.
That's where the action happens. So, cut to a few hours later, you see Gabby and Lindsay coming home. And Lindsay is schmammered. And she's saying to Gabby, that isn't the Carl I know. That's not the Carl I know. He was on something. He was on something. That's cocaine Carl. And I don't know if it was said before, but I know a few weeks ago, Carl came out and said like my two demons were alcohol and cocaine, but I don't know if before that he ever said that. And I almost feel like Lindsay outed him in that moment, which.
Yeah. I don't know either. It's like we knew for sure, but I don't know if like, you know, the moms at home knew.
Right. And so you are now, you know that you're being recorded now, regardless of if there's a camera in your face, you know what you're saying the second you walk in that door. So who were you trying to get on your side with doing this? And I think like you're
sympathy from Gabby in the moment, because I bet she had a freak out and she's overreacting and she's trying to paint a picture to Gabby. Like, this is why I'm overreacting. Do you get it? Do you get it? This is why. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think she was really trying to she was like throwing paint at the wall at this moment.
Right.
And unfortunately, super unfortunately, it was her fiance's sobriety that she threw at the wall.
And it's like, okay, if we all get in fights with our partner, if alcohol's involved, those fights bring it to another level. But if you actually believed that your fiance, the person that you're going to marry, did relapse, if that's what you're concerned about in that moment, instead of accusing him on camera about it, wouldn't your concern be like, I want to protect this person at all costs? I mean, my point of view is like, I would want to protect my person and just like get through the day, like keep it as composed as possible, get home, and then address the situation when cameras aren't around, or even like ask cameras to stop filming. If you really thought that the person you're going to marry relapsed and you've been there for their sobriety journey, you would call that out on national television knowing you're being filmed. It's disgusting.
Especially because, like, you know, you and I are both in relationships, and I would say, speaking on behalf of both of us, like, Meek is coming number one for you 100%. Same with Kyle. Like, there is nothing coming, no show, no paycheck, no drama for a TV show. None of that is absolutely not coming before Kyle. Me protecting him is coming first and foremost, 100%. The other thing, as you were just talking, I was like, if she really did think that, and, like, I'm trying to put myself in that position, if I really thought that, you think I'm leaving and going home myself?
Right.
No.
I'm actually pulling you.
Driving you out with me.
Right. 100%.
No cameras when we get back to that house.
We're not going back to the house. We're going back to New York. And this is the Lindsay show, because what was Lindsay concerned about in that moment? Lindsay was concerned about that she got yelled at, and that the girl, and Carl called it out. He's like, Lindsay was upset that the girls were mad at her. Carl called it out. And then for Carl to have that argument with her the next day, that whole scene with Lindsay and then Carl, and Lindsay comes to bed and tries to justify. I thought there was almost a part of me that thought she was going to go in there that next morning and maybe apologize. I almost believed that she was going to apologize. I really did, because I was like, she didn't even bring it up the next day. She barely brought it up.
Lindsay would never, and she's the problem.
Well, I think we're going to see tonight that Kyle basically says that to her. Like, yo, Carl, you didn't do anything wrong in this situation.
Oh, I did see the, like, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
What did I do the first 7 minutes? I did see that. Yeah, this is just, I wonder, like, what is going through her head every week as she is preparing for these shows, for this the episodes to come out.
Well, it's funny.
Instagram is just Instagram. It's social media. It's there more for fluff than realness. If we're going off of her Instagram, it's other than her one statement, like, it does feel like she doesn't give a fuck. I would like.
What did you?
That's not the case.
What did you think of her PR statement about the episode that also doesn't address the fact that she questioned her fiance's sobriety? It doesn't address that at all.
You know what I wonder? I thought her statement was kind of like, I don't even remember what it said, so it obviously didn't make, like, leave a mark. What I am curious about is how far in advance the cast members get to see the episodes, because it can't be much. I would assume that had she known what even the first two episodes were going to look like, she would have been doing a little bit more damage control ahead of the season, where I feel like she spent the last 6 months now, 7 months, kind of really playing the victim card and playing it hard. And if she had known that these episodes were going to address it like this, I think she would have maybe been a little bit more coy about it.
Do you?
Not ownership, but coy.
That's so hard for me to believe. It's because I don't think, even to this day, do you think Lindsay thinks she did anything wrong? I don't think she actually thinks. The only reason I think she issued an apology was because of the heat that she got and what she saw come out on social media. I think she watched that episode and was like, I didn't do anything wrong. What I thought was interesting.
Could you imagine being like that? It seems, I don't know.
But I really believe that she doesn't think she did anything wrong. When you watched Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked Danielle a question, because Danielle's been very team Lindsay, and he asked her a question. Did you see all the episodes? And Danielle basically implied, I didn't see, because it was after last week's episode. And she basically implied, saying, like, if I would have seen tonight's episode, I don't know how Team Lindsay I would have been. Or like my feelings might have changed.
And I think she even said that her conversations with Carl would have been a little different.
Right.
Oh. So yeah, Lindsay's definitely has crafted a narrative for herself and to her friends about how she's the victim here. And it's like, it doesn't really make you think about, you know, I don't know all the rules of sobriety, but I have heard that you shouldn't get in a relationship for like a good solid year and it and probably longer than that, to be honest. But
right.
I'm not like the expert on this at all. So, but I think he and Lindsay started getting like dating around like 9 or 10 months into the sobriety journey. And
he said that last year. He brought it up in one of the first two episodes of Southern Charm that like it was right on the cusp. Or maybe she did, but it was brought up. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I think that he really needed to find himself as a sober person. And they had this friendship before. And I think she really inserted herself and probably, I mean, I would say in a positive way into his like sobriety journey and like really wanted to be there for him. And I can commend her for that. But I think it really was not the move. I think he should have waited probably a good 2 years to figure who he is, to figure out who he is as a sober, who sober Carl is before getting involved with someone.
And I think Carl got into it with Lindsay because she was comfortable. She knew him before. So she could say like, look how far you've come. Look how great you are now. And I think the further he got along on his journey, he realized how much he's outgrown her. And I think Lindsay got sober because Lindsay is the type that will go all in the beginning before she shows you her deck of cards. Like, I'll do everything for you. I'll make you all the sandwiches. I'll be the best girlfriend. Love bomb me all you want. I'm going to love you, bomb you back. Let's be as toxic as hell. And then, you know, I'll show you my true cards.
Totally.
It's going to be a rough season for Lindsay.
Sure is. And yeah, I guess we'll see. I think she's on Watch What Happens Live tonight.
Oh, God.
I think. I'm like pretty sure, actually.
Yeah. We have a big night ahead of us. Yeah. So, well, yeah, it's going to be a good season.
It is going to be.
What do we think? Lala has announced that she is pregnant.
Yeah, so let's, I guess, VPR.
VPR. You asked me a question earlier that we didn't put on, or you put it in the outline, and I thought that it was an interesting question, and I wanted to know what sparked it.
Oh, was it the baby thing?
Yeah. So
I was just curious because we are two people that chose or have like made the choice to not have children.
Yeah.
And so like, you probably have already kind of gone through like the baby boom where like everyone's having babies. I'm like in it now.
Mm.
And for the longest time, I wondered before this happened, I was like, I wonder if I'll feel left out, like kind of like left in the dust a little bit about it. I can happily say no, but I'm curious. Like, I've had moments and then I'm like, oh, it's just so not for me. And I'm good with that. And I was just curious if you had ever had those feelings.
It's so funny because that question, it's such a good question that I don't think people who have kids think people without kids question themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think they think that we would ever think, oh, or do they feel like they're going to be left out? Well, it's funny. My two best friends got pregnant within, one was 6 months and their kids are 6 months apart. So like one was almost done their pregnancy when the other one found out. One found out in December when the other one was due in March. And my two like closest friends, like, speak every day, like, and we're the same age and stuff. And we've known each other for like 15 plus years and have gone through like breakups and makeups. And they are like, in a way, my family. And when they both got pregnant at the same time, and it was my one friend's first kid, and me and that friend have gone on vacations together and like have done couples things together. That was the first time where I was like, oh my God, am I going to be forgotten? Like, are they going to forget about me? Is this going to be like, am I going to like, is any, yeah. And that was the one time I said to me, like me and Meek had the conversation, and it was one of those things where you're like, is it worth it? Is it not? And it's funny because after my one friend had her baby, she was the one that I was like, if she can do it, then maybe I could do it. And she didn't love it as much as, I think that's another thing that's not fair that women don't talk about, is that not every mom loves being a mother. Like some people make it into
shoved down your throat. Like it's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. It's like, it can't be all the best thing ever.
And I just don't think it's realistic when women put that like expectation on each other. Again, not a mom, but I just think more people should show like the shitty stuff. I've had friends that have gone, like my best friend's son passed away when he was 7 months. This is really dark. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But other friends, like, you know, it's scary. There's a lot of like really scary things and a lot of reasons why I don't want to have kids, or like, I don't want to deal with sicknesses. I'm a control freak. I also, the thing that it made me realize was that when my friend who had the baby, she didn't like it. And if she didn't like it and couldn't handle some of the stuff, I was like, if she can't handle it, like she's my pinnacle of like strength and all that, I'm like, then there's sure as hell no way that I can handle it. And instead I get to be, I think the thing that I've taken from all of my friends having kids is trying to be a part of the kids' lives. And like, I think the other thing, I don't know if you feel this way, but I think the thing that that people with kids think about me is that I don't love kids. And I hate that because I love kids and I want to be all my friends' kids' best friends. Like Aunt Amy is my, yes, that's who I want to be. Like that's my, I'm doing Flat Stanley for the one kid. I'm hosting roller skating parties. Cause like that's my ML. Like, yeah, Aunt Amy, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
But it's true that, are you feeling left out?
No, I've had like flickers of the thought, but then I think about that, like what that my life would look like. And I can't, I've never wanted kids either. Like I didn't grow up thinking that I, in fact, always was like, I feel like I was like 10 years old and I was like, no kids. It was like from such a young age and everyone was like, wait until you get older. You're going to want it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm 34, going to be 35 this year, and I want them even less than I've ever wanted them before.
Yeah, and I think that's a weird thing to say to people is, like, you'll want them when you get older. Like, why would you want them more when you're more into your life? Like, and you're more settled and you're more, like, why would you want to disrupt, like, the good things that you have? Like, I feel like it's harder.
Happy for all of my friends that having them, and I think it's beautiful. It just is so not for me.
Yeah. And I also have like seen friends be like scoff at people that want them. You live your best life. Again, like everybody respect my decisions. I respect yours. Like I'm at the lucky point where like people know that I'm too old to have a kid now. So there's no more questions asked. And my friends' kids are older now too, because I am a little older. Like they're older now where like I can hang out with them and do stuff with them, and like they're cool now.
Yeah. It's just, I think too, like we're so off topic. Thanks Lala for getting pregnant. Cause now here we are. But the other thing is like, I have so much, I guess I would call it maybe some trauma from just like having just whatever. I don't need to get into all of that, but I don't know that I would be able to let the child like go outside. Like I would be like, they're going to get hit by a car. They're going to get in a car accident. They're going to die. Like I would not be able, I think I would just never sleep again. And I'm too anxious about like people dying around me all the time. I wouldn't be able to handle that. Like I'm thinking about death so regularly already. If I were to bring a kid into that, I just cannot even imagine.
But I have similar, no, but that's like a reason, that's like a very similar thing that I'm so much of a control freak that if there was anything, I had an ex say to me, one of the nastiest things that somebody's ever said to me, but there's certain like, and again, there's certain mental things that run through my family. And he said, why would I have a kid with you knowing like your family history? And I was like, oh my God. And then it made me think like, oh my God, is he right? Oh my God. But that's like, you know, the least. I don't have the mental things. I'm completely fine. I take my Lexapro daily. Okay. Anywho, can you imagine Lala is out here having a kid by herself?
I know.
She looks amazing.
Got that send it to Daryl money now, baby.
What did you think? There's so much to say about this week's episode. Holy hell.
The outline, I was like, God, this is a lot. It was like getting so long. I would say the overarching theme that they're really trying to shove down our throat about this like Sandoval redemption story, what they didn't anticipate was him doing terrible interviews and being in 2 hours late or however late he was to a podcast in the off season leading up to it. Because there it's, it makes it harder to even like, it feels so shoved down our throat and so produced. And then you have that happening while he has these terrible interviews that he's doing. It's like any chance that there was for redemption was removed by him doing those interviews.
But I wonder if you're not listening, if you live under a rock and you're not listening to some of those interviews and you're not like taking in the same stuff that we are, I could see that it could almost be possible for his redemption arc. I could see that almost.
That he just can't seem to drop the defensiveness. Like he always seems to have to yell back, no matter.
Yeah, and, who, and, he and he's like pulling things out of his ass. Like, so we started this whole thing where they're in Tahoe.
Yeah.
You could tell. So gorgeous. So gorgeous.
I've ever said about my terrible times in Tahoe. I take because
it looks so gorgeous. I was only
a rich friend who has like a house on the lake, perhaps, because that looked gorgeous. The thing that we're like, well, anyway, it's just they don't have, they get to avoid all the like crazy crowds. Like they're getting all and
yeah,
during that time of year, especially, it's like going down the shore. You know, it's like packed. Mm-hmm. Packed.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic is bad, and it's just if you're, I don't know. So, but what they got going on, I was like, damn.
A boat, a big old house on the.
The color of that water.
It looked so refreshing. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So we're in Tahoe.
This whole thing in the morning with Sheena and Lala and they're
in bed talking.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Is this where she talks about the money?
She talks about the Venmo. Yeah. So I feel like
Venmo. So
PayPal.
It could be more.
She says a couple of thousands of dollars. If you say a couple of thousands, to me, that's less than 10.
I think it was 10.
Okay.
Because you watch the after show?
No, I don't know how to watch that because I don't have Peacock.
Schwartz says $10,000.
Mm. You know, this just goes like.
What?
Sheena. Katie said on page 6, like, I just felt like she said it perfectly because I couldn't figure out what it is.
This is the after show. This is why you need to be watching the after show.
Oh, I don't know how to see it.
Joined Peacock.
I don't have Peacock. Oh, you have Peacock and I have your sign in. Yeah, that's right. Okay. But Katie says like Sheena has been like, what did she call it? A male
sympathizer.
Mm.
And I think she really did hit it because she does need male. You know what she gets?
Validation.
She gives pick me vibes.
100%. And it's pick me vibes from everyone because this is what I'm thinking in my head. Like, Tom Sandoval is not your friend. I don't care if you've known him for 15 years. You all worked in a restaurant together, okay, for however long. You've been on a reality TV show. You were party friends. We all know we've had party friends. If one of our party friends cheated in this capacity with one of our best friends, hate him. Hate him. Be mad. He gave you $10,000. Sure. Okay. You don't owe him your life. Sure, you could choose not to talk shit on him on your podcast, considering all the money he's given you. Don't, you can, for like, go ahead, forgive him then. Forgive him for what he's done. If you're holding on to that and that's what you need for your inner peace, that doesn't mean that you need to be friends with him.
I think the other thing that I kept trying to, like, get in her shoes and, like, empathize with her. But, like, the waterworks of this episode, by the end of it, I was like, maybe she was PMSing, because I was like, I've seen myself PMS, and I'm like, who even is that? Because it felt way dramatic. It just felt way dramatic. Like, you and Tom were friends. You probably only stayed whatever level closest you were because of Ariana.
Exactly.
You had texted Ariana's mom a couple years ago about
saying that, you
know, yeah, bashing Sandoval. So it's like, you weren't always, I think that she really, she's like the girl, and we all know them. That's my best friend. That's my best friend. Like, he and I were best friends. And Katie said it in the after show. She even said, when me and Schwartz were going through a divorce, all of a sudden she really needed to be there for Schwartz.
Right. You
know, really, really good friends all of a sudden. And it's like, oh, sorry, my mom just said, and I just,
that what Katie said about the, like, you're my best friend thing, we all know that. You know who else is that person? Lindsay.
Yeah,
Lindsay fucking is. Hubbard is that person.
Best friend, like,
please. Exactly. Like, Luke's my best friend this season after you hooked up with, like, he dated my friend. Oh, he's my best friend this season. Austin's my best friend. Like, no, bitches. When she called Ariana, all she was looking for from Ariana was, like, give me the go-ahead. Please give me the go-ahead. Give me permission and tell me that it's okay now. Please, please give me permission. That's all she was looking for, was permission to say that, like, it's okay.
The way that Sheena has really turned herself into, like, the victim in all of this, I, to be honest, I think that she should be sadder about her friendship with Rachel more than Sandoval, because it's like,
I thought that was your best friend.
Like, they were, if you're going to try and make this about you, that would be the better route to go down, wouldn't you say?
I think you would get more sympathy from that. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Lala, that whole, that actually is such a good point. But she's such, you're right. And, like, for her to even bring up the money on camera, like, if I was Ariana, that would be another thing as a friend that I would be like, what's your point in bringing this up on camera?
You know what I would say if I was Ariana? Well, you're welcome for all the money you've made since my heartbreak. How about that?
How about it?
My life got turned upside down, and guess what? You've made a shit ton of money off of it, and I haven't said a goddamn thing about it. I am happy for you. You make that money. But please do not try and use that as a reason. And let's not forget, when he sent that money, he and Ariana were together. I'm not saying it was also Ariana's money, but there's no way that she did not have influence on that, because you better believe, if Kyle's sending 10 G's to someone, I'm going to know about it. That's going to be a conversation that we're having.
But to me, this is just like, I don't find Tom Sandoval sending Sheena 10K as, like, a genuine thing to do, because I don't think he's a genuine person. So in my head, this is just like some tactful buying of friends.
That part I don't really dwell on too much, just because I'm like, 10 G's or 10 G's. And it's still like, whether he did it for himself or for Sheena or both. Like, it is, if he does it for himself, it doesn't change how it affects Sheena. You know what I mean?
The and thing it's like,
at the end of the day, anything that we do nice for someone, like, we all get a little hit, you know, like, there is, like, a little high that you get from doing something for someone else.
Fine. What do you think about, because this was the other thing that pissed me off. Uh-huh. Lala saying at the end, okay, this whole like Dancing with the Stars thing, people are like, we need to get Sheena on Dancing with the Stars. Are you kidding me? She said to Lisa that she's been practicing for Dancing with the Stars. Why would you be practicing? On what planet do you think you're getting Dancing with the Stars? You're just practicing? And well, she, and then for her to say that shady comment, like, oh, well, Ariana's come a long way since being my backup dancer. Like, Sheena.
What was that? That was weird.
You shady bit. That's such a shady thing to say. And then Lala saying Ariana needs to remember where her friends are. Sheena caught, What?
Wait, were you going to say?
Sheena caught a restraining order because of what she did to Rachel. And how Ariana needs to get her head out of her ass. Like, Lala, last season, you told every single person, if they are friends with your ex, you're cutting them off. You made a scene. And I get it. I get it 100%. Yeah. I get it. And now you are saying this about Ariana. I think the thing that is really hard for me to understand is these chicks are making money off of it at the same time and having these opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a baby on the way because of it. You have a house in Palm Springs that you've openly said to everyone from the down payment from the Send It to Daryl sweatshirts. So what is it?
It doesn't seem to mind that people are profiting off her heartbreak.
No.
Hats off to her for not giving a fuck, but like, you can't now come at this girl who you're making money off of. That's not fair.
And who said her head's in her ass? That comment doesn't even make sense, because her head's not in her ass. All she's asking for is boundaries. Hey, if you want to be friends with my ex, I won't be friends with you.
Go ahead.
I just think Sheena just wants, like, Sheena knows that if Scandoval didn't happen and it wasn't as big as it was, Sheena would be friends with Tom Sandoval. But Sheena is so afraid that the public will go against her and turn against her and say, like, you're not loyal and you're a piece of shit, that she is just trying to get the story of, like, how happy she is for Ariana. She's basically trying to make Ariana look bad.
It's a disclosure every time she talks. But Team Ariana all the time. Like,
exactly. Right. Like,
constantly disclosing that to us so that, like, don't turn against me. Don't turn against me, even though, right, like, I'm going down the path with Sandoval. And I would kind of bet that, like, I think Sheena and Ariana are fine. I don't think they're, like, texting all the time or anything like that.
No.
I think, and I was really trying to think, like, is Ariana being, like, too, like, don't talk to my ex? And I was really thinking about it. I was like, this isn't an ex-boyfriend. Like, this was essentially a marriage. It was a decade-long partnership. They've had businesses entangled. They have a home together. Not only that, like, he hasn't really shown a ton of remorse. Like, it wasn't a quick affair. It was 7 months. Like, the layers are so... I would also be like, you know what? This isn't going to work for me. I would honestly do the same thing that Ariana's doing.
And I think in to your point, I was thinking about it a lot as I was watching it. Like, it's really easy for Katie in this situation to wipe her hands of it, because so it's really easy for her to be a good friend to Ariana right now, because she has no alliances there. Like, she doesn't give a she doesn't care.
I also think that Ariana or Katie had a front row seat to a lot of it and kept her mouth shut for so many years. But, like, they traveled together. Like, they're so close that, like, I think she probably has seen a lot and heard a lot over the years, but was never that close with Ariana.
Mm.
So she can't really say anything. And I think she's like, I not only have I seen what happened in the aftermath, but I saw it during as well.
Right.
And it makes it really easy
for her to just be done. But at that same point, if Sheena's her best friend, then she should be done too. Like, when your friends break up with someone, and, like, we've all been in those relationships where like all of our friends are entangled. And I just feel very strongly about like hoes before bros. I just think that it doesn't matter. When I broke up with my ex of 7 years, there was no drama either. Like there was, we just broke up. It was done. We had a dog, we had a house, we had all the things that you could have together. And Ariana should know that she's going to lose friends in this. And I'm sure, and it seems like she's already very, very well aware. And Sheena might be one of those people. And I think I never got it anyway. I even liked how Ariana responded to Sheena in that moment. Like, I don't want this friendship for you as my friend. I thought she handled that so well. Like, Ariana, I saw this TikToker where they said, Ariana, on the way out, burn it all down. Not only are the producers trying to make you look like the bad guy, but your own friends are doing it. Like, on the way out, take every opportunity and burn it the hell down. And she's doing it.
She is. I love seeing her. I mean, I say it every week. I just really like that dynamic. They just seem, they make sense to me.
Yeah, for sure. It's like two bad bitches. Where the hell have they been? Like they've been, these men have been taken down.
Well, I don't know what we're speaking, but just chaos. Let's get into this wellness situation because this was wild. Okay, let me just say, Sandoval explaining to the wellness instructor what, like, situation. I'm like, think that this woman knows, everyone in America knows. Jokes were made at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You think that this lady has no idea what's going on?
He's so stupid.
I know.
I know. Do you two know each other? Is she okay? I wonder why she's crying. Oh my God.
So Brock coming in late from golf. Sheena is seething. I can feel it. And like, honestly, there was a guy I dated. This was like in high school, was my high school boyfriend. But I remember when they would go out to play golf. It was like, I was like, wow, you've been gone for actually 13 hours. Like, yeah. What
is happening? Back hammered.
So I remember being like, having those like, oh, like I'm going to fucking kill you when you get back. And I felt that with Sheena as soon as Brock got there. But then when they're splitting into their groups and
Sheena's like, Brock, no, I don't want to.
Oh my God. When Brock stays with Allie and James and Sheena's like, I'm trying to do this with my husband. She gets up, leaves, they go talk, whatever. He goes back down. It's obviously the producers being like, we need them to like have this moment or whatever.
Yeah.
But, right. Don't you think?
I would have murdered my husband. Like murdered him. Like, I don't give a fuck. Get your fucking ass in this triangle and put your back against my back. Like speaking through your teeth.
Yeah, I think he's so like annoyed by her in so many ways. But anyway, that's not, we don't have to get into that. But this whole scene was just, the waterworks were flowing. The eyelashes, the nails, the lips. It was just a lot. It was just so much lip and so much nail. And I don't know. It just, and then like her body's so tiny. It just, I feel bad. I don't want to body shame, but it was something.
I almost felt bad for her in there. Because I do think.
I did love Lala and Schwartz, though.
That was really funny. That was really funny. I actually thought for a second, like, they would be cute dating.
No.
I can't believe I said it. I know.
No. Would eat him alive. Chomp, chomp. Nope.
Yeah, it's whatever. True. And then he's like, you're pretty. You're pretty.
Great eyebrows.
You have great eyebrows. Like, but how about Sandoval when Sheena's crying and Sandoval's like, I looked at that and I was like, I'm not even kidding. When you're in acting class, you have to like do these exercises and they try to make you like cry. And he was doing his actor exercises where he was like, let me do everything I can to try to squeeze these tears out. He is so, his fakeness is too much for me. I can't take it. Can we talk about the boat ride?
Yeah, I did want to just mention though, Brock calling Sandoval out for the restraining, like the restraining.
Oh order. Yeah, and then Sandoval not taking accountability and saying no, that's not what happened.
They talked about the, and then like he also says something about the story that they ran about Brock and Raquel or Rachel or whatever, and okay. saying that his team put it out.
They oh yeah, yeah.
So, and like that publicist who put that out no longer works for Sandoval, so he must have fired him. But I guess he was like, yeah. Even at one point, Ariana was like, I hesitate to say anything about him because like that guy, he's a snake and. Anything I say could be a headline now.
Yeah, no surprise.
I really, you know what I love about Sober Lala when she's yelling? She makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's a and difference.
That was happening with Sandoval and he still couldn't make sense of what she was saying. I was like, I'm getting it. I'm not even on the boat.
And oh, why is...
Out months later.
But like, why is his defense talking about Randall?
I think it's just, I think, okay, so I thought about this and I really think that it comes down to like, we've been all getting paid to show, like, I think it's like a, if I have to show up and do and show my whole life, you should have to too, sort of. And that part is fine. Except you were hiding a 7-month affair. So
I just, she wasn't, he was this like what? Getting and showing every part of your life. Even if it's not shown, we all find out anyway.
But don't you remember that? I remember that season. So she was hosting. Remember mm-hmm. she was like going on those trips or whatever.
Yeah.
And like get her shifts covered. But and I remember him in his interviews getting really frustrated with her then. So it's like animosity that he's definitely held on to for the last several years. And she even said that, like, you were not letting me evolve. You bring this up every single season. Like,
yeah.
Are we gonna move on from this? Like, I get it. I get it. We've moved on.
It's just no one even talks about Randall anymore. Who cares? And like, and who the hell cares that he wasn't... I sure as hell don't care that in the first season he wasn't talked about. I think we know why he wasn't talked about. And partially it's because he was still like in a marriage.
Yeah.
Anyway, the hugging, there was a lot of hugging of Sandoval.
I know. I was like, damn, Lala, you just went out on him so hard and now y'all are hugging? I didn't like that.
It feels like people are... And it's also after everything you've said about him, after all the trash.
That's the thing that's so crazy is like, this is coming from two people. Like we're seeing these two people kind of like mourn, or I guess Lala's not mourning a relationship, but like Sheena is. And these are the two people that were really like kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? But they were like, running the I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but they were the ones like talking the most shit, basically. They were like leading the pack in hate.
Yeah, 100%. Which is
funny off of it, and just like bringing different guests on to talk about like dirty little secrets of Sandoval or Rachel's. And it's like, not only did you just talk about your own experiences, like you guys got people on your shows to like.
I just think you made such a good point last week. Like if this person gave you 10K and that's why you're considering forgiving him, you sure as hell didn't care about that when you were doing everything you could in your power to get as much dirt on him as possible. It's just, to me, it's like, pick your side. Lala talks a lot about loyalty and I don't think Lala owes as much. Like I just don't think Lala and Ariana are as good of friends. And I don't think that Lala gives as much of a shit if she's cool with Sandoval or not. Not that she doesn't give a shit, but I don't think she owes Ariana the same loyalty as Sheena does.
And she's never really been chill with Sandoval. I feel like
No, like, yeah, she's always had an issue with him. So I feel like they would just coexist like how they always have. And, but it's just also like, you just brought, the way that they, I stick by what I said about Sheena. She doesn't pick a side.
What was it on? It was on Reddit, and someone was saying, like, is Sheena trying to, is this more about getting another season because Sheena needs the paycheck than it is about having a relationship with Sandoval?
Could you do that to your friends? I just could never imagine being fake friends with people.
If we're really thinking about it in terms of that, you think Sandoval has a better chance of staying on the show than Ariana and Katie?
Ariana and Katie are just going to freaking have their own show, and Sandoval's just going to hang on to this. Yeah.
That's what I mean. And it's like, if let's say that's the premise that's what I'm deciding between. It's like, I'm putting my eggs in the Ariana basket.
For sure. Absolutely. Let's move on.
Yeah. Beverly Hills.
Yeah. We have some time. A little bit.
So I got to make some coffee, but,
I mean, again, I think I want to use your word from last week.
Nothing burger?
This is a nothing burger.
It's a nothing burger. Dorit's having a little rough go at this reunion, though, huh?
Yo, I want to shout out our TikTok comments. So one of our followers, or someone commented on our TikTok. We put up this post on TikTok. Shout out, Dan. about Dorit and her white privilege. And someone in our comments said, how come I didn't know Dorit was going to come dressed as Sutton's esophagus to the reunion? It was the funniest thing I've ever read. Our comments on TikTok. If you don't follow us on TikTok, that's where the funny shit's happening. So follow us on TikTok. Yeah.
What was yours that your turtleneck would swallow?
Oh, yeah. Somebody basically just was not assaulting me. That's not the right word. Trolling me, saying that my turtleneck last week was eating my face.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, it wasn't last week. It was like 2 weeks ago. It's okay. And now I'm like, I'm blending in with the wall. Great.
So I guess next week we get to the Kyle stuff. I really don't understand why this was a three-part reunion. I don't.
You know what I think?
What? Tell me.
I think they're going to I think Kyle's going to confess to Morgan. And I think Morgan's going to come out next week.
I've seen some of this like being.
I know. And I'm not saying that I think that on my own basis. I think this based on our girlfriend, Bravo and Cocktails, and her internet sleuths.
Is that what they, that's what they said, they're saying?
Yeah. I'm reading your notes. Okay, so. Oh, yeah. So the one thing that came out of last night, and I agree with you on this, is that I love Garcelle too.
Yeah, same. That's my number one housewife of all time for me.
Yeah, like would be in our housewife house. Yeah. I did not like the insinuation that the robbery didn't happen, and like, why did the robbers leave her phone and like her jewelry? That was strange to me. And it also doesn't feel very Garcelle to me.
No, it doesn't. I'm like, oh no, please, like, don't do this to us. Don't do this to us. The narrative she was trying to paint, I was like not really on board for.
They should just call it. Like, you guys don't like each other. You're not going to see eye to eye. It's not it.
Yeah. The other thing I wasn't really down for is I think Kyle trying to say that she didn't insinuate the drinking and the eating habits of Sutton. Like, you did. You did insinuate. Like,
you said you play with your food on a plate. What else could you, how else could you say that you don't eat in another way?
Exactly. And it's like, you did do that. Just own it. This is the reunion. This is the time for owning it.
Lisa Rinna. Yeah. Own it. You want to know what I did want to say too?
Yeah.
Crystal's hair. I could not stop staring at her glorious locks. And she gets, like, I'm not, like, the fan of Crystal by any means. her hair, it was so gorgeous.
Remember?
Oh my God. I think, again, I know we talked about my hair journey last week, but as you get older, your hair starts to thin, and she just has locks and locks of luscious hair. I couldn't stop staring at it. She's really beautiful. Oh God. Tell me.
Andy and Dorit. It's just like, they are not operating on the same wavelength at all. And it's like, does Andy like really dislike her, or like, is he genuinely bored of her?
Yes. Do you know how much editing they probably edit out of Dorit's stories? She probably just tells stories and stories that go on and on. The fact that she yawned again, and then they had a whole montage of all of the years that Andy's been yawning at her stories, was so shady and so good. As you yawn at mine for the second freaking time today. Yeah. And how about Dorit saying, this was so weird, and people making faces, Dorit saying that her and PK are in the best place they've ever been.
I lost it. I was like, I literally looked at the TV and I said, no, no, you're not doing that pose right now, are you?
I was shocked that she admitted what she did, though.
I know, but the way she said, I think she said, like, the best that they've ever been. Like, she said something pretty dramatic.
She did. She said the best they've ever been.
And I was like.
Before a long pause. And the best we've ever been. Yeah. With the curl, with the hair. Just like,
yeah, that was
why did they pick the hair like this? Like, what would make you think, you know what, this hair just going like this, this would be great. You should just do this in your face. Why?
I don't know.
Anywho,
I don't know, but I do have to get ready for work.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week. I'll tell you guys all about my roller skating rink party. Thanks to any of our new friends for joining us. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Bonded by Bravo. If you don't already, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, and follow us on social at Bonded by Bravo Pod on Instagram and TikTok. We're blowing up, folks. See you, friends.